Welcome to the Biz Times MKE podcast and another episode of the Weekly Debrief. I'm Arthur Thomas, Managing Editor at Biz Times Media, and I'm joined on the Weekly Debrief, as always, by Biz Times Editor Andrew Weiland. Andrew, how are you doing this week?
Feeling fine.
Good to hear. Heard you had had prom this last weekend, so we had
lots of
adventures with that.
My son goes to Muskego High School, had his prom, and then we hosted a post-prom party at our house and survived that. I was up till 4 in the morning supervising, making sure they were very well behaved, and it was great, really. But it was, yeah, it was a busy and fun and messy house, but all that good stuff. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Yep. And then your son had to go to work the next day and
yes, he was at
show
work
up for his job
at Point Burger Bar in Pewaukee, if you want to go see him, find you a table. Yeah, he had to work the next day. So
that was a little
bit of a challenge.
Showed up on time and made it through the shift without falling asleep.
You know, got to learn how to do it.
Life lessons come at you fast. let's dive in with our insider story spotlight. That is a chance for us to highlight some of the stories that are available only to BizTimes insiders. If you are already an insider, thank you very much. We really do appreciate that support. It helps make our work possible. If you're not an insider, please do consider subscribing. The equivalent of $9 a month will get you access to all of the stories on our website, biztimes.com, along with discounted admission to our events and other insider benefits. So go to biztimes.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page, and sign up. Andrew, what is your insider story spotlight this week?
I'm choosing a people on the move type of story. We do a lot of coverage on prominent people getting new jobs or getting promoted. Had an interesting one this week. CABA, the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, named a new executive director. Todd Battle was the longtime leader at CABA. I mean, he was president of CABA for 18 years. And at the end of last year, he left to join Zilber Property Group, real estate development firm in Milwaukee. And they've named his replacement. I think I said executive director. The title's president. The new president of CABA is Nicole Reif. She had been executive director of the Waukesha County Center for Growth. So going from one economic development group in the area to another. She has a really interesting background. She had only been at Waukesha County Center for Growth since July. Prior to that, she had been at an economic development position in Virginia, the Hampton Roads Alliance. Prior to that, she had worked in Texas for Governor Greg Abbott's administration, you know, director of business and community development. So again, economic development positions. She went to college at UWM and UW-Madison. So she's got a Wisconsin background and has been seen other parts of the country, been working economic development, came back to southeastern Wisconsin. But less than a year after being at Waukesha County Center for Growth, she's going to CABA. And of course, CABA has really been active and very successful under Todd Battle's leadership in attracting businesses to Kenosha County, especially businesses from Illinois. I've seen a lot of companies come into that area, and CABA has been widely praised for its work in attracting businesses to Kenosha County. So it'll be interesting to see how things go under the new leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a chance to talk with Nicole last year for our Getting There feature when she was hired on at the Waukesha Center for Growth. Like you said, she's originally from the area. I think grew up in Bayside. It's her hometown. She worked in Ozaukee County for a little bit, worked in Evansville before, I think it was her husband's job, took her out of state. And so they were kind of, she always had on her radar to get back to Wisconsin and, you know, be close to family and friends. Both pointed out, like, doing economic development work is maybe a little more meaningful when it's your home state versus, you know, somewhere you've just moved, which, you know, can be your adopted hometown, but that kind of thing. So interesting move. Interesting that, you know, she had been at the Center for Growth for too long, which that organization is relatively new over the last decade or so versus Cabo that has a much longer track record and is much more kind of active in, you know, the attraction and all that work that's been going on down there in the I-94 corridor. Switching over to my insider story spotlight this week, highlighting one I wrote here on Friday, that We Energies is back in front of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission looking for rate increases for 2024, which this was kind of expected that they would be back asking for what's kind of referred to as a limited reopener. So the utilities are on like a 2-year cycle for when they show up to the Public Service Commission for their rate cases. The We Energies utility, Wisconsin Electric, Wisconsin Gas, they were just in last year getting a full rate case for the first time in some time. And that ended as of December with like a 9% increase in rates. And the utilities are in the midst of this like massive shift in how they generate their power. Obviously coal was, you know, for a long time, the main power source. They are moving rapidly to move away from coal. I think by 2030 or 2035, they're going to be completely out of that. And more towards solar and wind and battery power. Also natural gas as a reliability measure for them. But, because they're doing all this changing, right? There's new solar farms coming in. There's coal plants being retired. A lot of moving pieces. They kind of asked, hey, can we come back in a year and relook at our rates based on what stuff we bring online, what stuff we take offline, that kind of thing. So they're back in for that. Looking at a total of $91 million in increases to their base rate. About 1.3% increase for Wisconsin Electric, electric customers, 4.5% for Wisconsin Electric natural gas customers, and 2.9% for Wisconsin Gas customers. Interestingly, it's not all driven by the solar. I think a good chunk of this is actually driven by the natural gas projects they've put in as a kind of a reliability measure. Also some savings, $8.1 million for Wisconsin Electric from the rate case or rate base in terms of savings by retiring to the old power plants at Oak Creek, which could date back to like the 50s or 60s or something. So less operations and maintenance, less fuel. I suppose that part's a good thing, but rate increases hurt nonetheless for everyone's pocketbook.
Right. Certainly rate payers, utility customers don't want to hear there's another increase coming. And as you said, it was expected, but still it's man, another increase. And it increases scrutiny, I suppose, on all the changes that are being made, as you talked about, and you've done a lot of coverage of. You know, certainly the debate over energy and how we get our energy and the need to do it in as clean and efficient of a manner as possible. And what's the cost of that, of making these improvements, when the rates go up as a result of that? It brings increased scrutiny and angst by ratepayers. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of interest in following that story as it continues.
Yeah. And, you know, the utilities will say over the long term, you know, they will save money. And it does make some sense, right? You're not having the same, you know, you don't have to, your fuel is free when you're using the sun or the wind versus, you know, coal. There's less operational, you know, maintenance cost to a solar panel versus keeping up a power plant. But the navigating the transition is tricky. And there's also some costs that they put in, some investments they put into those old power plants that they haven't fully recovered those costs. And yet they're going to be retiring them. And there's a lot of consternation over, well, you're going to be earning essentially a profit in some ways on, you know, stuff that you've already retired. And is that fair for ratepayers? So lots to follow there. And we will continue to keep an eye on that. Let's shift gears to our big story of the week, And that is news that the Trade Hotel has now opened in downtown Milwaukee in the Deer District. This is a 205-room, 9-story Marriott Autograph Collection Hotel, located directly north of Fiserv Forum on Juneau Avenue, literally right across the street. And Meredith Meyer was in there, got some pictures. Check it all out. So there's a whole photo gallery with it's like 34 photos in there. So if you're curious what it all looks like and don't want to spend the $300 a night that the I just took a look at what the rate is currently. The Meredith's got a little sneak peek for you to check it out. But you know, this is another big step in the development of the Deer District.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It looks like a beautiful property, first of all. You know, absolutely very, very nice hotel. A big addition to the Milwaukee hotel marketplace. And yeah, as you say, it's a key addition to the Deer District. I mean, the Deer District has been an enormous success with the arena, the success the Bucks have had there. Marquette's played well. You've had a lot of concerts, so you've had a lot of use of the arena. You had, you know, the entertainment block, the live block, whatever you want to call it, with the bars and restaurant scene, are attracting a lot of people onto that plaza. Obviously, the enormous crowds that were down there during the NBA Finals a couple years ago. So the Deer District has been a big success in a lot of ways. And, of course, it was a big development vision that was laid out by the Bucks when they unveiled the arena plans and the fact that they had plan to have the arena anchor this massive Deer District mixed use development around it. And the Trade Hotel is now the next step of that. And having a hotel has been an important piece of that. They've talked about having two hotels eventually in the Deer District. But the thing about the Deer District is, I think, as successful as it's been, and it's sort of a slow process we're seeing to get the whole thing developed. There's still a lot of land that is vacant over there. I mean, the entire Bradley Center footprint remains vacant. Now, part of that will be taken by FPC Live. FPC Live is going to build its indoor concert venue complex there. But that hasn't broken ground yet. That's been delayed. But that's expected to move forward in the coming months. But there's another block, you know, sort of west of, there's a hotel in the Park East corridor, the Aloft. Yeah, the block to the west of the Aloft, that's still vacant. And then this is the next block over where the Trade Hotel is. And the Trade Hotel only occupies really a small portion of that block. Most of that block is still vacant. And then you've got the parking structure for the Fiserv Forum, and you've got an apartment building. So you've had a lot of great development occur, but there's still a lot of land there that is vacant and hasn't been developed yet. And it's been several years now. So the Deer District development is high quality for sure, but it's a slow process. And I suppose, you know, I'm sure the Bucks want to make sure they're doing it right. They don't want to just rush things and throw up whatever. So there's a process there to make sure it's done and done well. And it is being done well, but there's still a lot of land over there still to be developed.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to question it too much. The progress, right? Just because of the past 3 years of the pandemic, and how that just really threw the real estate world, real estate development into turmoil in a lot of ways. I think the office tenant was among the things that have been discussed for the Deer District. Fiserv
buildings, yep.
You know, Fiserv was, you know, repeatedly talked about as a potential candidate for that. They end up going, you know, a little bit further south from there at Hub 640. You know, you look at Milwaukee Tool also, you know, to the south there. You know, I'm sure, you know, in terms of big office things that have happened, and then you throw in the pandemic and all the uncertainty about office there, you just, you know, uncertainty around development in general. We were joking earlier, you know, that it's 3 years, but what does that really count for on a timeline? It's kind of like the opposite of dog years, right? Time has just been a weird concept over the last little bit. But also, like you said, you want to do it right. You want to do it well, but the iron is also hot right now in terms of interest in the Bucks, interest in that area, first round playoff exits notwithstanding. You have a superstar player in Giannis who's, you know, going to make this team relevant all the time, you know, provided he's healthy for, you know, some number of years to come, but superstars don't last forever. And so what does that mean for, you know, the opportunity to get things done and develop there? That would go beyond the team, right? They're not like, it's not like any development is going to be dependent solely on the success of the Bucks. That helps, but it's, you know, but it helps get it probably the ball rolling on getting some of these things done in terms of excitement.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, the Bucks and the Pfizer Forum and just that whole area, you know, when the Bucks were in the NBA Finals and you had these huge crowds in the Deer District and that was all over national television. I mean, the Deer District was getting national attention, like people all over the country were hearing of it. And that just has to, you would think that would help to market it for development. So the opportunity we've been seeing in recent years with the Bucks being good and having Giannis and all that and a brand new arena, the opportunity to attract development there is, you would think, is high. But as you mentioned, we've dealt with a pandemic. Now we have an economy that is, you know, there's a lot of fears that we're going to be heading into a recession. We've had rising interest rates. So, you know, a lot of things are getting pulled back. And, you know, so there's been plenty of challenges to go along with the tremendous strength and opportunity that the Bucks have going on over there. So we'll continue. I mean, the FPC Live project is a perfect example that it's clearly been delayed by, you know, higher construction costs, higher interest rates. And, you know, they've given every indication that that project will still move forward. But, you know, it's been slowed. So, you know, and I think that's important to have that one move forward, but then you want to see the rest of that district develop because it'll just help everything be stronger. So the other interesting thing I think to mention about the hotel is just the impact it'll have on the downtown hotel marketplace. It's been several years since we've had a brand new hotel open downtown. Like I said, this is a very nice one. It's positioned right next to the arena, and just its design to really appeal specifically to basketball teams. You know, I think any team or entertainer or even media coming for Pfizer Forum events is highly likely to be at the trade and not staying at other hotels they've stayed at traditionally in Milwaukee. So, you know, that's some market share they're grabbing. There are also some pretty cool restaurants over there. There's a rooftop restaurant with great views of the city. So there's going to be, you know, I think it's gonna be a new attraction for dining, and they'll shake up the downtown restaurant and hospitality industry. So so it's a very interesting new addition to the downtown scene for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, the fourth floor is the VIP floor that features taller hallways and doorways and 8 foot tall shower heads, which, you know, I don't need to worry about that at all. I'm 5'7". So, but, you know, when Victor Wembanyama, the assumed number one pick in the draft, shows up and he's what, 7'5", 7'6", mm-hmm. You know, we got 8 foot tall showers for him. He'll have a nice experience there. So
it's really tailored to the teams and, like I said, the entertainers coming to the Pfizer Forum. It's a big deal.
Absolutely. Well, we will continue to keep an eye on the Deer District and development there. But until next time, That'll do it for this week on the Biz Times MKE podcast and the weekly debrief. Thanks for joining me as always, Andrew.
All righty.
This is Dan Meyer with Biz Times Media. You've been listening to the Biz Times MKE podcast. For more business news and insights, be sure to go to biztimes.com and subscribe to any of our daily e-newsletters and our magazine, Biz Times Milwaukee.